Ray, you have, and your team, put in an enormous amount of work to get where the gardens are today.
Yes, it's been a struggle to get the gardens where they are now. We have yet to discover a great part of the garden. There's about 60 acres I've walked and gone through, and there is an immense amount in that part of the garden which we have yet to discover. So my job here is ongoing for years. There are a great many things to discover in the garden still, even the parts that we've cleared, because I'm waiting for them to flower to find out what they are. Because it's very difficult to identify certain rhododendrons because they all look identical, but when they flower, they are very, very different. And I'm waiting for that moment. So it's a bit of anticipation into seeing what they are. But not all rhododendrons flower in the same year. So I may have to wait 3 years to actually get a full picture of the garden and what's in it.
That's incredible, really, isn't it? It's a very much a long-term project that goes on forever. It's like painting the Forth Bridge, only a lot more pleasurable.
Yeah, it is very pleasurable because you never know what is in the garden. There's no real archives of what has been here. We've got a sort of archive from the 1920s that were given to us by one of the gardeners that was here at that time. But that might not be what's here now because we're trying to correlate what's in the garden now to what was originally here to that record. And it's very difficult to do that when there may only be a single stem in amongst a huge 50-foot rhodi that has a different flower in it. So, it is a world of discovery.
And Letnersley has always been known for its rhododendrons and its azaleas and many other types of plants. What are the other plants that the estate is so well known for?
Well, the estate is well known for its collection of oak trees. There are about 200 different types of oak trees that have come from all over the world. They were collected by Sir Giles Loder. That was one of his passions, to add something to the gardens that was not done before. There is various oak trees from various unusual places. There, from the Golan Heights in Israel, there is an oak tree in the gardens. Very few of those live in the wild now. There's one in the gardens, which is very unusual because it's evergreen. But it has absolute minuscule leaves, just like an oak tree, as we know in England. But they're in minuscule, and it's quite unusual to see it. And being evergreen as well, fortunately, we can identify it.
That's good. And you have some really unique plants here as well that can't be found in many other places or any other places, apparently.
Yes, there are a lot of plants in the garden which are on the critically endangered list, because of deforestation in the wild, and also because China's going through the throes of industrial revolution. They're flooding large areas of valleys to create dams for hydroelectric power. And of course, the plants aren't on the list of preservation at the moment. In 20 years' time, they may turn around and say, oh, I've destroyed these plants, where are they? And they will then come to these wonderful collections that from all over the world to then restock their areas of their gardens and also their wildlife. So, it's very interesting because I hope China turns around in the future and starts preserving their flora and fauna.
I think they're just beginning to realise what they're losing.
Well, I hope they are, because some of these rhododendrons, I mean, there is one rhododendron called Grand, which has the largest truss of flowers, they're literally the size of a football. We have one example in the garden, but it only flowers once in about 10 years. So you have to be in the right place at the right time to see it in flower. There is one bud on the plant in this garden this year, so I'm hoping the frost won't damage it so that we can actually get to see it.
And of course frost is a bit of a problem for you. It's suddenly turned quite a lot colder, and are you a bit concerned about that?
Well, I'm concerned only because of the flowers, but rhododendrons in the wild can take minus 50. So I don't think the plants are worried, it's just the flowers.
Yeah, of course, they come originally from the foothills of the Himalayas, is that correct?
Well, rhododendrons come from North America and all over the world. They're not just Asia or in India and Pakistan. They come from Kashmir, they come from North Korea, and they come from all sorts of places where we can't go and collect the rhododendrons from now. And Burma, as it was, a lot of the collection that's in this garden actually has come from Burma, and of course you can't go there now and collect those plants, and you can't even go there and see them very often, because the people don't want you going there now.
Yes, yeah. I can see there are a lot of camellias here as well. They're all over the place. Beautiful plant.
Yeah, we've got 2,000 camellias in the garden that I've counted so far. We have, from what I've discovered recently, there is one camellia in the garden which is only three left in the world, and that was identified the other day by the Camellia Society, which is a real treasure. It's in flower at the moment, and then they found various other camellias that they're going to come back for, because to see in flower, because they're not quite flowering just yet, and they were believed to be on the rarity list as well.
Of course, a little bit later on, you'll have the bluebells out. That would look magnificent. I remember them from years ago in this estate. And also, we have the azaleas on the way soon.
Yeah, I've counted over 25,000 azaleas in the garden, just by going around with a clicker to count each bush. And originally, the azaleas that on planted en masse was a mollis, which was a highly scented azalea. But in amongst that, over the years, have been planted hundreds of other different types of azaleas from America, from Asia, from Japan. So the show is going to be fantastic.
It's always lovely to see the wallabies and the kangaroos here. Do they cause any damage to the plants? Do they nibble at the leaves at all?
Well, yes, they do. They nibble flowers on the lower parts of the bush, but because the garden is so vast, I'm not that worried.
So how much ground do you actually have here?
240 acres.
That's enough to be looking after, isn't it?
Yeah, it is enough to look after. Some of that's deer park, which is okay, but there are some very rare pine trees in the deer park. Fortunately, they've got guards around them to protect them from the deer. There is one pine tree up there which is on the endangered list, so critically endangered in the wild that there may only be 50 left in the wild, and there's one in the gardens in that deer park. So yes, it's about preserving this beautiful place for generations to come.
So, what are the future plans for the gardens? You obviously work to a game plan.
Yeah, I'm working to a plan which is eventually trying to reduce some of the azaleas that are probably about 30, 40 feet high. So gradually, over a period of years, we'll take a third out of the top to try and get them lower down to get regrowth into the bottom, so that everybody can enjoy the flowers. Because when you've got an azalea or a rhododendron that's 30 foot high, it's very difficult to sniff the perfume of such a plant. And also to see the beauty of the flowers in detail, it's not easy unless you've got very powerful binoculars.
And how many people have you got working with you?
We've got 12 gardeners at the moment, and Penny is going to take on four apprentices this year to the gardens, and we're gradually going to teach them about the history of the gardens and also the plants in the gardens, so that then hopefully another generation will carry this over as it would have done in many years past, because the information came from the head gardener down to the apprentice, and then the apprentice would then become a head gardener somewhere and then share that information as well.
Much of the garden, not all of it can be, but much of the garden is accessible to wheelchair users, I believe.
Yeah, much of the garden is accessible to wheelchairs. I understand that we're going to have little buggies to ferry people down into the gardens to help them and to bring them out. Because obviously if you go downhill somewhere, you've got to come uphill. So yeah, a little buggy does make a difference.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much indeed, Ray. I wish you all the very best in your team. You know, continually sorting out the garden and making progress. It's a lot of work involved, and I salute you for that.
Thank you very much.